Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Reading Rodeo returns May 14th through the 17th. Four nights of rodeo excitement and fun for the whole family. We even added breakaway roping. Get your tickets now at readingrodeo.com. Bulls, barrels, broncs, and big-time thrills. Thank you to our sponsors, Sierra Pacific Industries, Block Beverage, Pendleton Whiskey, SNL Group, Reading Rancheria, Reading Rodeo, May 14th through the 17th. Get your tickets now at readingrodeo.com. On great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. This is a fascinating new book that is out. You know, we talk about a lot of books on this show. But, man, I can't wait to read this. It's a psychological thriller, The Silo, described as one of the best police procedurals of the year. And retired police captain Greg Heist, 30-year law enforcement veteran, FBI National Academy graduate, is the author. And Greg joins us here in the National Defense. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. And you know, I just respect so much our law enforcement. Our audience is mainly active duty military veterans and their families. And as you, I'm sure, know, a lot of veterans, when they transition out, they get into law enforcement or some other kind of work like that, kind of mission oriented. And I'm sure, Greg, that, you know, just about anybody who's served as a law enforcement officer and with the FBI for 30 years has a collection of stories, right? I mean,
yes,
it just goes
for sure.
Goes with the territory, right?
It does. And I want to tell you how much I respect the military, because when I joined the department in 1980, I came on and I got to know sort of the generation of officers that came before me. And we had so many on the department that were Vietnam veterans.
Mm. Yeah.
And I worked with them daily, and I grew to respect so many of them. And my older brother was in Vietnam, and he spent then 20 years in the Navy. So I've always had a tremendous respect, and they knew how to do police work. They transitioned, and I learned so much from them. They were all like older brothers to me.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, and just kind of looking over some of the topics in your book here, you're an FBI National Academy grad. What is the FBI National Academy?
Well, what they do is they, four times a year, the FBI brings executives throughout the country, usually lieutenants and above to maybe assistant chiefs, and they're brought in for this three-month leadership program. And you stay right there in Quantico, and it's physical fitness every day, it's classroom every day, it's mingling with anywhere from 50 to 55 other classmates from all over the country that you get friendships with. And they're all, by then, they're sort of in that administrative place in their career, and you can really relate to each other. And a lot of high-level leadership training, so you can then go back to your department and really use it, which I did. I then got promoted to captain during the process at Quantico.
Oh, wow.
And I came back and spent another 6 years then as a captain on the department.
We're talking to Greg Heist here on the National Defense, his new book called The Silo, and just some of the things in the book. I got to be careful with this. Operation Fuster Cluck. Operation Fuster Cluck. Tell me about that one.
Well, that was very interesting. I didn't think I'd see that when I was out there because everything was running pretty smoothly at Quantico. And, of course, when you're there 10 to 12 weeks with that many people, there's bound something weird to happen. And one morning, a lot of us would always go down to the gym after breakfast and get a workout in. And all these guys being away from home, it's like, hey, let's get to the gym. Find something to do.
Right, right.
And we go down there one morning, and people are gathering outside the fitness center, and there are police tape, yellow police tape, across all the doors, into the locker room, into the gym, and it was all closed off. Well, initially it was like, I hope this isn't one of these tests for the classroom.
Ah, yeah.
To see what's going on, because you just never know for sure.
Right, right.
And you're not sure if there's poor communication or good communication, and you just didn't hear about anything. But the rumors started going around like something is going on. These guys were going to go crazy if they didn't have the gym and the locker room. Well, we then started hearing this story that some chemicals had been dripping down into the locker room and the gym. We don't know for how long, but they were supposedly poisonous. And it was one of those things where they said, you know, it was the type of thing that could cause cancer, so we don't want anyone to go anywhere near this place. Well, it turned into a very interesting thing, because here you have all these high-level executives in police departments that would be, you know, ordering their people around and telling them you can do this and you can't do that, and you want them to follow your lead, right? Well, a lot of our guys in my class decided on their own very late at night, maybe even after midnight, they were going to have to sneak into this locker room. And what it turned, and the reason was, because of all the running and fitness, these guys had expensive Oakley glasses in their locker. They had expensive running shoes, running gear, name it.
Right.
And these guys, whether they were lieutenants or captains or chief, they wanted to get their hands on their expensive equipment. So here we all are. Now, this is a group you wouldn't think would be crossing a police line. But sure enough, they were sneaking in there at night and getting a hold of those Oakley sunglasses. And it turns out this went on for a while. We never were let back into that gym.
Really?
And it turned into, I'll be careful how you said it, Fuster Cluck or something. It turned into that because pretty soon they started communicating to us, you may want to go to a local doctor here in the area, get your blood tested, just so we create a baseline. And we're all thinking, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? Of course, here, this was 2006, so all these years later, I have no idea where that blood test went. Yeah. I never looked back on it.
Right.
But the funny thing about communication, even at the level of the FBI, was the fact that they forgot to tell one important person about the incident, and that was George Bush, the president.
Ah!
Because
is that where he worked out?
That's where he worked out, and we knew he was coming there, and of course, Secret Service would work out with him. I don't know if some of the FBI guys got to, we didn't, but he would come into that same gym, and he would also want to ride his bike around Quantico and get his workout in. Well, The rumor was, and I think it turned out to be true, they forgot to mention the incident and that it was all sealed off. And one day here came a Marine One landing to bring him to his workout. And it's probably not fun. They probably were thinking, okay, who's going to tell him we've got to turn him away? You know, they're probably drawing straws on that one.
You're right.
But I heard he wasn't very happy.
Oh, so he, okay, so at least before he went in for his workout, they told him.
He didn't even get to go in.
Yeah, right.
And it turned out to be chemicals from a air conditioning unit on the roof of the building.
Oh, wow.
Because of the PCBs, which I know nothing about as far as chemicals, yeah. But because of that, and perhaps how long it had been going on, they just couldn't let anybody in there until it was straightened out. So we had entrepreneurs, of course. You can always, out of 55 high-level cops, you can find the entrepreneurs in the bunch. And sure enough, two or three of them put together this T-shirt and really nice police badge. And we are still today referred to the Glowing 224. That was our class number. And we had these green characters from outer space on the patch and on the back of our T-shirt. And they were neon green, so they glowed in the dark. They were black T-shirts. And we were always referred to the Glowing 224.
Oh, that's funny.
And I think we still are.
That's
when
funny.
I Google it, I still find it.
That's funny.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
There are other automakers in Detroit, but there's only one that's built for Detroit. Ford, the motor company that remembers the Motor City who birthed it. The one restoring the old train station. The one that employs more hourly workers in the U.S. than any other automaker. The one that assembles more vehicles in the U.S. than any other manufacturer. The one that supplied PPE to frontline workers in Detroit and assembled ventilators and respirators when the U.S. needed them. The one with a football field in Detroit named after the century-old family-led business started right here in Detroit. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford Proud.
Based on Center for Automotive Research data. Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Assembled with U.S. and imported content.
This Military Appreciation Month and every month, T-Mobile stands committed to honoring those who serve our country. They value the steadfast dedication and sacrifices made by those who served and continue to serve. That's why T-Mobile supports service members and military spouses with employment initiatives, ongoing community investments, and their best family plan savings. Plus, T-Mobile has proudly met their goal of hiring 10,000 veterans and military spouses, and they're just getting started. Learn more about T-Mobile's commitment at T-Mobile.com/military.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. When I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective, does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. Makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
60 Seconds of Service.
This 60 Seconds of Service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more about how they support our military community. Former Army Master Sergeant Mary Cortani knows what service members go through during and after deployment. She started Operation Freedom Paws to train veterans to train their own service dogs, a model that builds trust and purpose while saving costs. Mary noticed that the training process itself became as therapeutic as the end result. Veterans with PTSD, anxiety, or mobility issues find a new reason to wake up every morning, forming a deep connection with the dog they're training. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
Right now, the Home Depot has spring deals under $20. So what are you working on? If you're planning on cooking out this season, head to the Home Depot so you can fire up the grill with deals on charcoal. Right now, get two 16-pound bags of Kingsford charcoal for only $17.88. Was $19.98. Don't miss spring deals under $20 now through May 7th at the Home Depot. Subject to availability, valid on select items only.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 18th Annual Taste of Reading 2025, Sunday, June 8th from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.org.
If you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential, Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
Experience Glowing Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontline of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Talking to Greg Heiss here in the program, author of The Silo, a small-town police procedural with deep psychological undercurrents and themes of justice, trauma, and buried secrets, which makes me wonder, were you a cop in a small town?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, because I was born and raised in a small town. I lived right on the Mississippi River, and in a town of only 700 or 800 people, and then surrounding me was nothing but farm area. So I grew up, my grandparents were farmers, all my friends were farmers. Every summer, that's how I made my money, doing the farming. So even though I wasn't a farm boy, I was more of a small town kid that hung out with the farmers. That was where I grew up. Now, I worked in a place called Moline, Illinois, which is in the Quad Cities, near Davenport, Iowa, and Rock Island, Illinois. And, of course, that was the headquarters of John Deere, and still is. And John Deere has just given everybody jobs. My father retired after 35 years at John Deere. Everyone worked at the farm implement manufacturer John Deere. So that was part of that whole area.
That was the job to have, though.
Yeah, that was the job. It put me through college. I was happy.
Yeah.
I worked for them as much as they'd have me. And Moline was about 45,000. So, you know, compared to obviously Chicago and L.A. and some of those big cities like that,
right,
it would be considered small. But compared to where I grew up, Moline was good size.
Yeah, and so, but that fascination with small town cops too, I have such a fascination about that too, because, you know, I grew up in a small town, Knoxville, Tennessee, and you knew every cop in town. I mean, you knew the cops, you knew the, your mailman, you knew every veteran that lived around. You know, it's not like that anymore. And so, I still live in a pretty small town where, you know, you get to know the firemen, the police, everything. And there was such a nice community kind of a deal. But I think a lot of the things that had kind of gone on with how people look at law enforcement and maybe at veterans also is just the fact that you don't know them. I mean, you don't connect with them, you know? And I live in a small town outside of Kansas City, and Kansas City, Missouri is a tough place to be a cop. Anywhere is a tough place to be a cop. But, you know, they have these special days where the police will visit a school, or they'll have a coffee with the cops kind of thing. And I always just think it's so sad that they have to do that to let people that they're protecting in and to find out, you know, that these are people, these are your neighbors, it's your community, right?
Yes, exactly. And when I started getting involved after being promoted to lieutenant and captain, I was more involved with the hiring process. We started to seek out that small town police officer. You know, a lot of people would think, oh, wouldn't that be nice, here's this guy that's applied, and he was a Chicago policeman. Well, nothing against them, but that didn't always, it wasn't always like, oh, well, then he'll come in here and really do well. Well, he might, but what we found with that small town cop was they had to do everything. They maybe didn't have a partner. So they got called to a crime scene, they had to deal with it. They got called to this bad traffic accident, they had to deal with it. So they were a little bit of everything.
Mm.
And when we found that guy and hired him, that or woman, and started training, giving them more training, giving them more support, these small town officers turned out to be some of the best we ever had.
I'll bet. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, with any kind of a job, it's all about relating to the people you serve, right? And connecting with them.
A new poll commissioned by National Taxpayers Union, or NTU, affirms that voters, especially Republicans and swing district constituents, are worried about the impact of rising taxes. Pete Sepp is NTU's president.
Americans are deeply concerned about the economy, and higher taxes on businesses and families will only make the economy worse. In our new polling, 4 in 5 say that higher taxes next year would make essentials like groceries harder to afford. What's more, 9 in 10 of the Republicans in our poll want Congress to quickly extend the Trump tax cuts. These voters are counting on lawmakers to act. Letting the current tax cuts expire would devastate families, killing millions of jobs. We polled voters in key battleground districts and found that a strong majority want these tax cuts extended.
Learn more at ntu.org.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. online at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Save 20 to 30% off all plants at Turtle Bay's 33rd Annual Spring Plant Sale, featuring heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, California natives, and more. The nursery specializes in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The members-only sale will take place on Friday, April 4th, 4 to 7 p.m., and the public sale will be held on Saturday, April 5th, 9 to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Talking to Greg Heist, 30-year law enforcement veteran, FBI National Academy graduate, and his new book, The Silo. And I did see that you're also the detective behind the headline, Heist Foils Heist. That's pretty good. I mean, with that last name, you had to be a cop.
Yes. Yeah, I guess I was born that way.
Although
my mother tried hard to stop it. But.
Hey, I want to find out about the Super Glue Bandits. What is that story?
Yeah, very, very interesting. One of my, I'd have to say, most fun cases in the end. But things could have went bad, and they didn't. So, you know, you look back. You always think, I guess from watching the movies, that these detectives don't have many hiccups. They know exactly what they do, what to do, and how to solve the case. In this particular case, I happened to be home for lunch, and I was admiring our new handgun. The department's just went from a .38 revolver, which they had for many, many years, and we switched to a semi-automatic handgun, which I had very little, at that time, I had very little time to really check it out and learn about it. Detectives were a little slow when it came to getting into the range and learning about this stuff. The patrol officers got some pretty good training on it. Sometimes we got so busy with our cases that we'd put it in the holster even if we weren't totally sure how it worked.
Right.
I hate to say that.
Well, you know what though, Greg? I got a buddy who owned a gun range, and he said the worst shots are cops. He said, that's what he told me. He goes, it's unbelievable. He said, they'll come in here, you know, once a year or something, and they couldn't hit a target if you put it in front of them.
I hear you. I've seen it, yeah, myself. But the funny thing was about that, I'm at home, and I hear on my radio that there had just been a jewelry store robbery in Davenport, Iowa. Well, Davenport, Iowa is right across the Interstate 74 bridge where I live, where I worked, and they could stay in Iowa and try to head down south, try to go north, but they could also come across a bridge. So I thought to myself, time to leave lunch and see if I can find a place to sit. I was a detective. I had a plain car, plain clothes. So what do? I leave my house. I take off because I'm excited to get involved in this thing.
Yeah.
And I get 6-7 blocks away, and I reach down, and I pat my holster. No gun.
Oh, no.
I had left messing around with this new, brand-new Smith & Wesson 9mm. I had put it up on the refrigerator.
Oh, no.
I was the only one home. I had set it up on the refrigerator and was fixing myself a sandwich, and I left it there. So I thought, you know what? It's going to be hard to get into a shootout with two armed robbers with no gun.
Right.
So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this timing could not be any worse. So I turned around, flew back to my house, ran in, got the gun. Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, all the way, I'm driving like 3 miles to get to this place I want to sit, and I'm thinking, how's this gun work? Remember, you got to do this. And I'm going over the training and the gun in my mind, like this could turn out to be a shootout. And I set up underneath an area about 2 miles off of the bridge, thinking if they cross into Illinois, there's a good chance they have to pass me here. Mm. And I just tucked in underneath this overpass, and I sat. Sure enough, here comes a big white old Cadillac, you know, the ones that look like a aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
just mad.
Yeah, right.
And I noticed, and the plates were a different color. I knew it was in Illinois. I had in my mind that it was something like Utah, Arizona, something southwest. And as the information's coming in, all we had was two guys armed, got lots of jewelry, and we think they were running towards a white Cadillac. Well,
okay.
I just knew it. I my intuition. But you saw a woman driving it all by herself, and you could not see anyone else in the car. So I'm thinking, okay, that's their getaway driver. She was sitting in the car, and it just clicked to me, these idiots are in the trunk.
Oh, really? That just occurred to you.
Yes. Huh. Once again, it was just that gut feeling. You never know.
Right.
And the more I followed her, I never saw a head pop up in the back seat, which you would think would be natural. Just
right.
They'd pop up and check every once in a while, and the more I didn't see that, the more I realized these guys are in the trunk of this big old Cadillac with a whole lot of jewelry.
Right.
She pulls into the Moline Airport parking lot, and now I'm starting to think, and I'm by myself at this point, I'm just calling this in now, and she pulls into a parking lot. I'm thinking, what? They're not going to take an airplane. They're just trying to find a big parking lot to let these guys out.
Oh.
And then figure out what they're going to do next. So she starts to walk back towards the trunk, and I'm reporting all this. And my fellow officers, they're definitely on their way. I could imagine how fast they were driving. And she looks up, and she sees me Now, I could look like a cop, I suppose, even in plain clothes, but she didn't want to be seen by anybody, so she kind of just turned like she was going to mosey away from the trunk. That's when I knew they're definitely in there,
yeah,
and she's going to leave them in there until she can walk away from the scene. So my guys started arriving, and I told one of my fellow detectives, hey, take her down right there. She's walking away from this car, and I believe these guys are in the trunk. They take her down. She's got a 25 purse. That could have went bad for any of us.
Yeah.
But she kind of fainted when he grabbed her wrist and got the gun out of the purse, secured that. She immediately told us they're in the trunk of that car.
Ah.
Sure. To make matters more interesting, our Channel 8 crew was two blocks away doing a story about a hotel that's being renovated. They packed up all their stuff. They drove, only had to go two blocks, set up their tripods, cameras, and everything, and videotape the whole thing.
Oh, wow. So
everything went down.
They're on the scene.
They are on the scene, and me and a fellow detective of mine approached the trunk. Then state troopers started to show up. Our county guys showed up. Officers from our department showed up. We had the trunk of this car surrounded. There must have been 10 of us. And I leaned down and start talking. And sure enough, they wanted to talk because they were crammed so tight into this trunk. They said, hey, we cannot move and we cannot breathe in here.
Oh, no.
So we're still talking. And I asked them, you guys have guns, right? Yes, we do. They admitted it. Asked them what kind of guns. I got a 38. The other one is like, I got a 38. And but I'm telling you, I can't get to it. It's in my back pocket. And I am crammed so tight, I cannot move my arms. Well, now I'm thinking, I got to make a decision. Do I believe a guy that just robbed this place, that he's telling me the truth? He sounded pretty panicked. And he thought he was dying in there. So I'm talking to my fellow officers, and I said, what do you think? Do we let him out and get risk being shot? If they're not telling the truth, they could come out the minute I open this trunk.
Sure.
They could start shooting. Or do I tow the vehicle with them in the trunk down to the police department and let them out there in a secure area? Well, I was convinced that one of the guys truly was about ready to croak on us.
Yeah.
It had got that bad. And so we risked it. I was standing right at the back of the trunk with my firearm ready to go, just if I heard a gunshot.
Sure.
I really think the trunk of that Cadillac would have been blown off. There was 10 of us surrounding these two guys. And we opened it up. They could not get to their guns. They were packed in on garbage bags full of jewels from this jewelry store.
Wow.
$250,000 in jewelry they stole.
Wow.
And the more we then worked the case, got them in custody, we learned that they had a string of robberies similar to this from Tucson, Arizona to Indianapolis to Omaha, and we just happened to catch them there and the Davenport one. But it turned out to be very interesting. Because the more we learned about Arizona, some of the things they had done was super glued the hands of some employees they robbed to the counter in their stores, and these people couldn't move their hands. Then another thing that linked them all to all these robberies was on some of the employees, they were using a special kind of handcuff that you could just buy in Spain.
Huh.
And they had, all of them, they had ground the serial number off of the handcuffs. But they were still able to determine that they, from all these robberies, this was a really unique handcuff out of Spain.
Wow.
And in Tucson, even before our case, it's really sad, but in Tucson, this guy had handcuffed a pawn shop owner that he actually, we believe he knew. He handcuffed him and then he shot him in the head and left him to die.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And what the greatest thing about that turned out, I ended up spending a week down in that area, for a trial, and in came that gentleman in a wheelchair. He has survived the
shooting.
He survived, which this guy we arrested assumed he was dead.
Right.
But he survived and he showed up in court in a wheelchair. Now his memory on the incident wasn't very good, but he was there. And we were able, and of course the defense denied they were anywhere near. They never went to Tucson. We got the wrong guy, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out the .38 was basically a match to the shooting. And we also located a coin with a special stamp on it with a number typed on it from, we were able to match the typewriter ribbon that was used at that pawn shop in that owner's office.
Oh, wow.
So just linking those little things, you find some little thing in a guy's pocket, and it turns out to connect the case.
You talk about some outstanding police work. I mean, that was incredible. And so what happened to those guys? Are they still in prison?
Well, they, in the Davenport, Iowa got the first case, even though they weren't the first robbery, but because we arrested them, they were able to try them first, and they got 25 years in prison. And the second guy actually on sort of the mastermind, he was the one that I thought was going to die in the trunk. He was sick and already had signs of emphysema, so it was smart that we got him out of the trunk.
Yeah.
But he died in prison.
Mm.
And honestly, the mastermind, I don't think he's around anymore, but I do not know for sure if he is, because after the 25 years, he was going to Indianapolis to serve time, Tucson, wherever. He had so much time built up, he was never going to get out of prison.
Right.
I just don't know if he died there.
And how about the female driver?
She went down as an accessory, and of course, she was never technically involved in the robberies themselves, but because, of course, she was willing to testify against them and
sure.
talk about how she drove them, that sort of thing, she got 7 years, I believe. That's what sticks out to me. But I never heard nothing more about her after that.
Is it? I'm sure that it's just amazing to you, Greg, so many things like this, so many cases like this, that these guys, these two idiots, are able to somehow put together the string of robberies, which, takes some intelligence, right?
Yeah. Yes. And this guy, his name was Thomas Vogt, V-O-G-T, and I believe he originated from Arizona, but he met this partner, the one that ended up dying in prison. He met him at a party, and this guy was not bright. And the mastermind was able to lead him around and get him to do whatever he wanted.
Okay.
But he was a criminal. There was no doubt about
it.
Because he had already served time in prison for a robbery in Wisconsin, of all things, a grocery store. Now, that just doesn't seem like a really smart business to rob, but he pulled it off, got himself arrested. He served time in prison in Wisconsin, and then I heard he tried to escape, and he got another 5 years on top of it, so he doesn't learn very well.
Right.
And then he gets out of there and he meets this guy at a party and he thinks, yeah, this would be a good idea to rob a bunch of jewelry stores. So he was just this guy that was going to end up where he did, and that was back in prison and die there, and that's what happened to him.
Wow.
Hello, Detroit. It's the Ford Motor Company. This city has changed a lot over the last century. So has America. And we wouldn't have been around for this long if we didn't turn that change into progress. We've pledged to make our most iconic vehicles electric, to provide access to North America's largest public charging network, to use 100% renewable energy across all global manufacturing plants by 2035. And we couldn't have done it without the thousands of Detroiters working with us to turn progress into a reality. We're proud to be built for America. We're even prouder to be built by Detroit. And though we've helped give the Motor City its name, the Motor City has given us our legacy. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Based on original equipment manufacturers, automotive manufacturers that sell all electric vehicles and have publicly announced charging networks. Department of Energy data used. Ford Pass compatible with select smartphone platforms is available via download. Message data rates may apply.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. When I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective. It does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it, because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. It makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Right now, the Home Depot has spring deals under $20. So what are you working on? If you're planning on cooking out this season, head to the Home Depot so you can fire up the grill with deals on charcoal. Right now, get two 16-pound bags of Kingsford charcoal for only $17.88, plus $19.98. Don't miss spring deals under $20 now through May 7th at the Home Depot. Subject to availability, valid on select items only.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing, to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane and a Vietnam veteran. With Memorial Day coming up this 26th of May, I would like to remind you that it is more than a three-day weekend. With the words from President Ronald Reagan in one of his many Memorial Day speeches, he had just received the bodies of four Marines who had died while on active duty. He said, "There is a special sadness that accompanies the death of service members because our country is never quite good enough to them. Not really. We can't be, because what they gave us is beyond our power to repay. And all we can do is remember. Most of them were boys and girls when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. They gave up everything for us, and all we can do is remember and honor them. This Memorial Day, please remember and honor our fallen servicemen and women.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Get ready to hand drive your way into the coolest show in town. Grease, the musical performed by Shasta High's music department, is hitting the stage at the David Marr Theater on Eureka Way in Reading. Join Sandy, Danny, and the Rydell High crew for a night of electrifying fun, retro flair, and classic hits you know and love. Performances are May 1st through 3rd and May 8th through 10th. You don't want to miss it. Tickets available now at ShastaHighChoir.com. Grease, the musical, only at the David Marr Theater.
Up in this very exclusive neighborhood around Kansas City, and they would knock on the door and very politely ask, may we borrow a hacksaw? And people started obviously calling the police, and one of the guys called me back at the radio station and said, will you please tell this policeman who has his rifle trained to the back of my head that this is all a stunt? And I said, well, if the phone's kind of breaking up, can't hear you. But that was,
it was, that's...
oh, it turned into a press event. I mean, obviously it was on every newscast, and I didn't get charged with anything, but the prosecutor, threatened to charge me with some kind of creating a public disruption false.
They come up with something.
Yeah, false police report. So he was getting pretty serious about it. Wanted to make an example out of me, and I said, "What if I did some free public service announcements for the police department?" He said, "Okay, that'll work." But I've had cops ever since then. That had known about that incident from other towns say, you know what, if you had done that in our city, we would have thought it was just hilarious.
Yes,
it does. But that's about the closest as I've ever come to, I was sweating.
Some of those prosecutors don't have good sense of humor.
No,
I guess.
they do not.
I could just picture it happening, sort of this casual question. I need a hacksaw. Would you happen to have one?
Right. Yeah. Can we please borrow a hacksaw? You know, just a question. Listen, Greg, it's just so great to talk to you, man. I can't wait to read a book, and I hope you have great success in getting it out there. But what a great career.
Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. It was my honor and a pleasure, Randy. So nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too. And the book is called The Silo. Get it on Amazon, and thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Randy. Have a good day.
You, too. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-777-1225. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-777-1225. That's 800-777-1225. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.